When we sing in worship, what a powerful name, what a beautiful name, what a wonderful name is Jesus. What we're doing is we're saying to Jesus just how much he means to us, just how incredible we find him. But this series that we're doing for these 3 weeks is a slight surprise to many people. It is Jesus saying to us how special we are, how wonderful we are, and how amazed he finds us, how amazing he finds us. And Trusted is basically wrapped around basically what I think is my favorite parable that Jesus told. One parable that he told towards the end of his ministry, the last couple of days that he was with his disciples before the crucifixion. And he told them about a story of a man who had servants. And he goes away on a journey and he leaves his servants in charge of his property. He gives one 5 talents. He gives one 2 talents, one talent. And these talents, they're weights of treasure. And he basically says that this is how God looks to us. He trusts us with something. And the whole crux of the parable is asking us this question. What stops us from doing great things for God? Because God has incredible value that he places on you, incredible trust that he puts on you. And in order to understand the story, you need to know a little bit about the details. And we went through this last week. So if you missed this last week, go back, find it online and watch it. It's worth catching up. But a brief thing that will help you is that the talents, one talent was worth in today's money around about £1 million. 2 talents, £2 million. 5 talents, £5 million. And so this master trusts these ordinary, regular servants with tremendous wealth and says, I believe in you. I trust you. And the one given 5 makes 5 more. The one given 2 makes 2 more. But the one given 1 holds onto it, plays it safe, fails to do the good thing, the great thing that God had for him to do, that the master had for him to do. It's like the master gave him this once in a lifetime opportunity, this tremendous faith that he has in the servant. And the servant blows it because he doesn't realize how good his master is. And he doesn't grab a hold of the opportunity. And so we want to grab a hold of the opportunities that God gives us. We want to get into this. And I want you to hear over and over and over again the refrain that comes from these servants that prove faithful. They say to their master, "You trusted me. You trusted me. It could have been anybody, but you trusted me." And when we think about how God views us, and when we hear stories like Beth and Rosie, you need to know that it wasn't by accident. It was because God looks at Beth and says, "I believe in her. I trust in her. I want her to find me. I want her to know me." And when Beth shares the good news with Rosie, it's God saying, "This person is my child. This person is precious to me." And Beth, I trust you. I trust you with the good news. I trust you with sharing what you've got, what you've been given. Don't bury it. Don't just put it. Don't maintain it, but share it. I trust you to do that because I trust her too. She's wonderful to me. And every single one of us are wonderful to God. Listen, if you're not a Christian here today, if you are new, maybe this might be even your first time, you've been brought by a friend or you've been brought by curiosity, you need to know that God loves you, has plans for you, has died for you. Wonder of wonders. He loves you with an incredible, incredible love. And the kind of surprise that these servants get, they say, "You trusted me, you trusted me." We want to be faithful to that trust. And in order to be faithful to the trust, in order to do the great things, we have to move from the commitment, from the comfort zone to the commitment zone. The servant that blew it, the lazy servant, the loser servant, is the one that stays within the comfort zone. But the ones that really please the master are the ones that move from the comfort zone into the commitment zone. And so we want to take things further tonight. We want to talk about one kind of issue. What has God trusted us with? Now, next week, Sam's going to come. He's going to speak, and he's going to talk a little bit more about what we've said with between friends. We've been trusted with good news. But I want to talk about the fact that we've been trusted with good things. And in the Bible, when Jesus tells the story about talents, talent, just like pound, it's a measure of weight. And it is a weight of silver or a weight of gold. But what is talked about here is a lifetime of riches. But the very obvious literal meaning of this parable is that these servants were given money. They were given resources. And without over-spiritualizing things and saying, well, the talent is, you know, our abilities, our gifts, you know, like talent. Actually, the most direct response is what God has trusted us with in amongst all other kinds of things is resources. God has trusted us with money. So tonight we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about the money, the possessions, the resources that God has trusted us with. He could have trusted the things that we've been given with anybody, but he chose us. And to see ourselves not just as consumers, but trustees in what God has given us. So, good news, if you're not a Christian, if you're not part of this church, you have nothing to do. You don't have anything to do as a result of this talk. You can just sit back, enjoy it as an intellectual exercise, and hopefully it won't be too disengaging. If you're already someone that is very much in the commitment zone, giving, being generous, then you can sit here and you can think, yeah, I realize why I do these things. I'm reminded why I do these things. But for some of us, tonight is going to be instrumental because we're going to see our resources in a fresh way. Now, disclaimer. In Metro, we don't do offerings. We don't talk about money that much. We talk about money sometimes, so maybe two or three times a year. When we talk about it, we talk clearly and we talk, you know, in depth. But as a general thing, we don't do lots of offerings and we're kind of coy about money. But it's important for us to talk about money because the Bible talks about money. Did you know that in the New Testament, 1 in 7 verses is about money? The Bible talks a lot about money. The Bible talks more about money and giving than it does about prayer or faith. That the Bible is full of all these different things about money, about resources, about giving. Because what money does is it determines how we behave. It determines how we do life. So much of our future, our vision, our behavior is determined by money. That's why it's important to talk about. That's why Christians have to take money seriously. And you can tell a lot about a person in their Christian faith by the way that they handle money. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's in the Sermon on the Mount. And we've talked about this before. We had a session recently, just before the summer, on this. And it's surprising because you'd think, well, where your heart is, there you put your money. But Jesus says, no. It's the other way around. Your money goes and then your heart follows. Where you put your money, that's where your heart will find itself. In other words, where your money goes, your life follows. Everyone say that together with me. Where your money goes, your life follows. Where you put your money, where you invest your money, that's the kind of life that you're going to have. That's the kind of person that you're going to have. So if you put all your money, and I mean disposable, once you've done with all the kind of practicalities that allow you to live indoors. When you take your money and you invest it simply in pleasure, well, you'll be a person that's just shallow, superficial, and all about pleasure. If you put your money and it's all about you, you'll be a person who is self-obsessed, self-centered. It's all about you. But if you put your money into social justice, if you put your money, invest your money into the kingdom of God, then you'll become a person who is all about God's kingdom. Where your money goes, your heart follows. It's so fundamental. And so we want to talk about how do we handle money? How do we handle resources? How do we get a good outlook on the wealth that we have and the money that we have? And how do we stop thinking about money as just stuff that I have? It's mine. I own it. I earned it. It's my precious. How do we go from that to thinking, God, you've trusted me with money? I mean, I live in a part of the world where we're in the top, let's be conservative, we're in the top 10% of the world's population. You could have had me in dirt poverty. You could have had me brought up in a society where I'm on $1 a day, struggling and striving just to keep myself and my family fed. But no, you put me in the affluent West at a time of incredible economic prosperity. You trusted me with money. Some of you, you are in big jobs with big money. Some of you, you're headed into that. Some of you, yeah, not so much. But the reality is that God has trusted every single one of us with resources. So what stops us from doing great things with those resources? What stops us from being generous? What stops us being people that invest into God's kingdom? I'll tell you, it's the exact same thing that stopped the loser servant last week that we examined. And that thing is fear. There is nothing more guaranteed to cause fear, anxiety, and worry in your life than finances. Money, fear about money, worry about money is the number one cause of relationship breakdown in the UK today. Money problems, the fear of losing money, the fear that if I give away, if I am generous, if I am unbounded in my financial dealings, then I won't have anything left for me, that I will be in difficulty, I will be in problems. And some of you, you could give, but it's fear that stops you. Fear stops us. And money has this way of getting a grip on us that we feel frightened. If we don't have it, we fear we'll never have it. If we do have it, we fear it won't be enough. If we have a lot, we fear that we will lose some of it. And money can be such a defining thing in our lives. But knowing that God has trusted us with money and that we can use money to do great things for God, it changes things entirely. I've told this story before, so if you were here a couple of years ago, you would have heard me. But I want to tell you the time in my life when I really, first of all, came and made some significant inroads in my thinking about money. I was 11 years old. I was 11 years old, and I was living in England. Now, that was, yeah, you say, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal was that my family was living in Nigeria. And I'd been living in Nigeria. My dad is a Nigerian, my mom's English. So I'm half Nigerian, I'm half English. Half Nigerian means I've got rhythm. Thank you. Half English means I can't dance. So I got this dual thing going on. And my family were living in Nigeria. And then my parents say, you're 11 years old, senior school, big boy school, big trousers. You need to go to England. And I'm like, yay, okay, whatever. It's not as nice, but I'll go. When are we going? And my mum said to me, we're not going anywhere. You're going on your own. You're staying with grandma and granddad. And they sent me off. So I was all on my own with grandma and granddad living in York as an 11-year-old boy. And I went through that first term. They sent me home in September. And then at Christmas, I get to travel back to Nigeria. And I'm with my family in Nigeria, and it's so, so cool. And it's really exciting. And I'm back again, and I'm back for 2 weeks. But I really need to guilt my parents into giving me something good, because my birthday's coming up and they're not going to be around for it. Can you imagine? Not around. What parents? And so I'm doing all of this stuff and I'm saying, listen, you really need to treat me well. And I had this thing, I had an agenda, I had a possession that I dearly, dearly, dearly wanted to have. Ladies and gentlemen, I had my eye. I was into Lego. Who's not into Lego? I mean, everyone loves Lego, right? But I did an engineering degree. I mean, I could do my whole degree on Lego. But I went into this shop and I saw it one day, ladies and gentlemen, 1906, Rolls Royce, Silver Ghost, 6-cylinder inline engine producing in a total of 50 brake horsepower, a thing of sublime, stately elegance. I mean, this was just a beautiful machine. And it was all made of technical Lego. And so I just saw, and it had moving parts and gears, and you could move things and create things. And I just looked at it, and I just thought, this is the most beautiful thing I have ever seen in my life. I would press my nose against the glass of the shop and think to myself, one day, this will be mine. Oh, yes, it will be mine. Problem was, it was £10.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm a lot older than I look. This was actually in the 1830s. And £10 was a lot of money, let me tell you. £10 in today's money, I'm going to say it's something like 50, 60 pounds, which when you're 11 years old, that's a fortune, okay? And there's no way that I could ever expect anything like that. We weren't a wealthy family. We had no money. My parents were planting church. And so £10 was a lot of money, a lot of money. But I was guilty, my parents. I'm like there in Nigeria. I'm like, you abandoned me. I'm having emotional difficulties. It was great. It was great. Grandma and granny just spoiled me rotten. You abandoned me. And do you know, you could really make it up the fact that you're not there for my birthday. You could give me £10 for my birthday. Oh, he's asked for £10. What are we going to do? We feel so guilty. Give him £10. We'll find it somewhere. So my parents, for my birthday, just 5 days before I was due to fly back home to England, they gave me £10. I'm like, yes, this is it. I get the 1906 Rolls-Royce Silver Ghost six-cylinder inline engine, 50 brake horsepower, stately elegance. So much. This is so good. I am wealthy. I have never had so much money. And they gave it to me in a little card, Christmas card, and there was £10. Actually, it was in Nigeria, so it was Naira, which in those days it was 1-to-1. So 10 Naira, £10. Amazing. I've got it in my pocket. Now I've got it. I've got money. Now I own it. It's mine. My birthday. I earned this by being on my own without my family, without my parents. This is mine. I deserve this. I've wanted this Rolls Royce for so long. And then Tuesday night, the night that changed my life, 11 years old, sitting on the second row, while my dad conducts this meeting in a ramshackle, rickety wooden building in Okibola, Nigeria, Ibadan. And he's talking about this frame that we are in, this wood that we are in, this shack, this shell. We want to build a proper church. And my dad is preaching. My dad says, we want to build a church to reach a nation. In those days, Nigeria was totally, almost completely Muslim. Christians were few and far between. My dad was a Muslim. He came and met Jesus, and Jesus appeared to him, became a Christian, started preaching, and he's doing this stuff. We want to build this church, and we are going to ask you now to give into this offering. I have my money in my pocket. I'm thinking, well, there's no way that I am giving my money because it's my money. And I was frightened. I was full of fear. I don't want to lose this money. My thing, happiness is coming my way. I've dreamt about this for so long. And so my dad said, we're going to start off. Who will give £5? I'm like, I'm not giving £5. No. Keep my hands folded. Nope. And people give £5. Come on. Obviously, I'm not going to get £5 because that's half of everything I own. I can't buy the thing with £5. And so, no, I'm not going to give £5. And then my dad says, okay, thank you. Who will give £10? And at this moment, I felt something. I felt like God has given me £10. I have £10. I could give £10. And fear comes, and fear says, but what about that thing that you want? You deserve it. You're worth it. You should have it. It's your money. It's your birthday. Other people will give. Other people will support. And I thought, no, I've been trusted with £10. I could buy some plastic bricks, or I could invest into God's kingdom. Damn, I wish I'd put my hand up at five. I really miscalculated that one. I would have had some left. But now, if I don't give now, I won't be able to give at all. So I remember putting my hand up and trembling and feeling very, very upset and sad. I should have been happy, but I was upset because I just saw that silver ghost pulling out, driving away like the driveway of Downton Abbey. Off it went into the distance. I gave him £10. 3 days later, I'm due to fly back home. It's a Sunday. And it's the meeting, and I'm there, one last meeting. I'm going to go to church in the morning in the ramshackle place, and then my parents are going to take me to the airport, and I will go away. And I've given, so, you know, I feel okay. I've reconciled myself to it. And as I say goodbye at the end of the service, all these people come up to me. One guy comes up to me. He says, hey, Phillips, how is it? Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good. I'm going back to England. It's cold. He says, it has been so good to see you here. And then he shakes my hand. He shakes my hand, and I feel this kind of rustly thing in my palm. And he goes away, and then I open, and in my palm, £5. I'm like, what? what? Put it in my pocket. Next person comes along. Hey, Phillips, how is it? It is so good to see you here. We are going to miss you when you go back to England. And shake hands. £10. I went around shaking hands with everybody. I walked out of that building into my dad's car with £100 in my pocket. And suddenly, fear is gone. Because God says, I am bigger than fear. Money has such a hold on us. We think that if we're generous to God, then that's it. We will be disadvantaged, that we will miss out. But God says, I'm a good, good father. I have so much resources. I've given you a few things. What are you going to do with those few things? When you are generous, when you invest, when you put it into God's kingdom, he is well able to supply your needs. And when we talk about Christian giving, we're not talking about some kind of battened down, puritanical, sour-faced, grim misery puss. We're talking about generous, joyful giving, where God says, do you think the money in your pocket, that it all came to you because of your total goodness, your total ability? Don't you realize you could be doing the same thing and have nothing like that kind of remuneration for it? Don't you realize you could have been in a totally different fund, totally different circumstances? I'm the one that's trusted you with that money. Now, what are you going to do with it? If you have fear telling you that to give means that you're going to be disadvantaged, you have no idea. And being able to invest, and from that day on, I knew what it was like to give everything I had to God. And I knew that God gave me back. Now, I'm not saying give to God and he'll give you 10 times, 100 times back, touch the screen. I'm not saying that. This is not some kind of scam. What I'm saying is this: giving is one of the greatest privileges that God has allowed us to share in. In one sense, he doesn't need your money. In another sense, he allows himself to need your money. Just like with the servant that didn't invest and didn't increase what they had, it didn't get increased, and the master wasn't able to do anything with it. It stayed as 15 talents instead of 16 talents that it could have been. But God says, I'm trusting you with this. I want this to be something. And if you can get this sorted out, it will unlock things in your life. Where your money goes, your life follows. And Jesus says this. He says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know, today I can go back and I can see. In fact, yeah, let's get the picture up. This is the building that we went back 40 years later. I went back with my daughter, and that's my brother and my dad. My dad's in the white, my brother's got the white cap on. And my dad went in there, and that church is still there, but a whole new group of leaders. And we knocked on the door, and we saw the leaders planning. And my dad said, hey, my boys have a share in this church. They gave their birthday money. They gave what they had. They gave what little they have. And now, 40 years later, this is a church in Okibola, in Ibadan, in Nigeria, which is doing amazing things. And the church has grown. It's gone all over Nigeria. Now you find a nation where the majority, certainly in the south, are believers. People like my dad, who are Muslims, have been brought into God's love and kingdom. They found faith in Jesus. And this church is now in 33 nations. My £10. I did that. My £10. I never bought the silver ghost because I kind of felt like I didn't need to, because I'd bought something much, much more precious. So again, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. God wants to bless us. And as we give to him, he's able to give to us. He's able to supply us. And all the times that Jesus talks about money in the New Testament, he says again, 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 don't fear. Don't worry. Fear not, little flock. Your father's been pleased to give you the kingdom. When you give, give out of a place of trust and confidence. Yes, you're moving out of the comfort zone. There's nothing like money to keep you in the comfort zone, because money is all about the fear of tomorrow, the fear of not being supplied, the fear of not having enough, the fear of missing out.
But God says, listen, move out of that comfort zone. Move into the commitment zone. Commit your money to me. Commit your money to the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. All these things will be added to you as well. So here's the question. How do we do this practically? Well, as a church, we, like I said, we don't do offerings and we don't make a big deal about it, apart from every now and again when we make a really big deal about it, like now. But we follow what we see as a New Testament model for giving. So when Paul, the early church leader, talked about the various churches around Asia Minor and modern-day Turkey and all spread around in Jerusalem itself, the Jewish churches, they had a particular practice. And he shares it. He shares it in one of his letters to the church in Corinth. He says this to them. He says, I want you to do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So this is their practice. This is their general practice. On the first day of every week, each one of you, everyone say, each one of you. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. Everyone say, in keeping with your income. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Everyone say, no collections. No collections. No collections. Absolutely. That's what we do in Metro. We have occasional collections. We'll probably do one once a month. We're really lax on that. But those collections that we do, we just give straight away. We don't keep a penny of it. In fact, we add to it as a church. So when you give, and we'll probably do one next month to support our local charities and partners that we work with, when you give, not only does gift aid get added to that if you pay tax, but the church puts on another 50%. And so we love to be generous. But the principle here is that you put aside a proportion of your income, every one of us, the first day of the week. Now, it can be the first day of the month. Usually, with most people, it's monthly. There are guys here, and I know that you do this weekly. But you put it aside first. In other words, you don't say, well, okay, I'll see how much I've got, and if there's anything left over, then I can see what I can afford. Actually, that's never going to get you very far. That's only going to give you mediocre, minimal experience of God's generosity and kindness in giving. So what you do is you decide, in proportion to your income, how much you're going to give. Now, Paul doesn't tell them. Sometimes you go to churches, and they talk about tithing. Tithing, if you've never heard of that, is when people say you should give God 10% because it's like an ancient Jewish practice. It's in the Old Testament. And we don't say that because Paul and the early Christians, they didn't say that. Their attitude was it all belongs to God. God's trusted us with all of our finance. And 10%, if I'm honest, is kind of, it's like the minimum. So you don't want to restrict it to 10%. You want to aim to give as much as you can. Kate and I, as a family, we aspire to giving 20% of what we have, and we work hard to do that. We like to give to the point of discomfort. We like to get out of our comfort zone into the commitment zone because we have had experience of God supplying our needs, of Jesus maths. Jesus maths is, doesn't really add up on paper, but somehow he blesses you in ways that you cannot possibly anticipate. And you live a life of faith, and it's fun, it's exciting, and it's better than a plastic car. And so we try to live and we choose a particular proportion. You might not have the same proportion, but that's the principle, that it's personal. You decide it. He's not telling you what you should do. You make your own decision. What have you got faith for? What do you believe that you can handle? And then you set it aside before everything else. If you get into this, then it will make a tremendous difference in your life. Now, some people will say, Philip, like it, it's good, generosity, fine. I give to other charities. I say to you, that's fantastic, that's great. But every single person that feels that they are a part of this community needs to give into this community because that's how we do church and that's how Christians have done church down the ages, that we don't count our possessions as our own, but that we are trustees entrusted with finance and we put into a common purse so that we together can do the work of God. When we give to church, it means that we can meet here, this place. It's not loaned to us for free. The donuts that you eat, actually, Kate buys those in the weekly shop. Sainsbury's guys always freak out when they deliver our shops. Like, wow, you guys, you're going to get diabetes. You have so many donuts. But that's just one way in which we give. But the car parks, the venue, the resources, the PA, the stuff. You know, you can look around this stage and actually you say, so-and-so bought that, so-and-so contributed that. But some of it is the general pot. And we have a church where roughly 30% of us give into the pot and the rest basically don't. And if that's the way that it's going to be, well, that's okay. We will pay for you. We will continue to sacrifice. But I think it's for your benefit to give. So when you say, I give to other charities, we do as well. And I think that's a great thing to do. And one of the things that sometimes we do is we give to other charities through the church. But the important thing is, if you're part of the community, that you're contributing into that. And some of you will say, well, you know, I don't have very much money. I'm a student. I'm poor. I have a rubbish muck job. Let me tell you, if you can do the 11-year-old boy £10 thing, you can see God move. Because the whole point of the story is that they were all treated differently. One had 5 talents, one had 2 talents, the other had 1 talent. The master did not compare them with one another. And they didn't compare themselves with one another. What you have been given, what God has trusted you with, well, what are you going to do with that? And if you say, well, I'm going to wait until I've got, you know, a better job, better salary, more margin before I give, you'll never get a hold of this. Because the more that people have, the less people give. That's statistically true. The top 20% richest people in the UK today give 1/4 of what the bottom 20% do in terms of proportion of their income. In other words, the more that you have, the less of it that you give, because money gets a grip, and its grip is mainly about fear. What about me? I won't be able to have those things. I won't survive. I won't be able to make ends meet. And so being able to be generous and trusting God, walking out of that comfort zone, you get into the commitment zone, you find out how gracious and how good God is. And if some of you say, well, you know, it's the church, and I'm not sure that I really trust the church, organized religion, you know, I don't know what you're doing with that money. Well, then that's fine. But when you do feel like you belong and that you're part of this place and that this is family and that we're in this together and we have a mission to reach out to our city and to transform the culture that we're in, then you go all in. See, actually, this is my family. This is my home. And this is where I want to be contributing. This is where God has trusted me to be a part of it. And if I don't take part in this, then things that could happen are not going to happen. Because when we talk next week about the good news and sharing faith and impacting our culture and transforming our city, it's inextricably linked with the way that we resource that vision. The more money that we have, the more things that God can do through us. And so this is how we do it. We have a website. So if you go into the website, woodlandsmetro.church/givenow, you'll find this page. And what you do is you put general funds and then how much donate regularly, monthly, on the whatever of the month you want to give. And you sit down. And I would really encourage you to do this. I'm not going to give out forms and things. But I'm just going to, some of you, you could even do it tonight. But over the next few days, go. If you're not giving regularly, think, right, I need to do this. Let's see how it is. I dare you. I double dare you. Give to God and see if he doesn't supply you generously. The reason that I feel okay about doing the whole give, give, give is not because I'm some greedy, grasping televangelist. You know, I work 2 jobs to do this gig. I am trying to give and not receive. But the reason that I'm happy to talk about it is that you will benefit. You'll benefit. Do you know what it's like to live without money worries? Because, yeah, you may struggle. It may be a bit of a challenge to make ends meet. But you put yourself in the grip of a generous God. And you act like him, and you see him giving to you. Give, and it will be given to you. And the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You give generously, you get generously. We did this jolly offering a few weeks ago. We wanted to raise £4,000. In the end, we ended up with the equivalent of something like, does the maths in his head, £36,000 in 1 week. And I gave, and I had this big thing of, you know, we need to set an example, we're going to give. And I wasn't even in the top 10. But even that I gave, God gave me straight back through an unexpected series of events within the week. I'm like, It's so difficult to give to God and be disadvantaged at the end of it. Because he always like, oh, I'm trying to give to you. And he keeps giving back to us. And it's joyful. I don't have the most amount of money, but I do not worry about money. Because I know what it is to trust God and to live in the commitments, and I'm flying, and it is good, 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 good. And this is the end of the parable. The master says, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an what?
Abundance.
Say it again.
Abundance.
They'll have an abundance. When you have, and when you invest in God's kingdom, you get more to invest in God's kingdom. And God is about abundance. He loves you. You're his child. And you can build your life upon this. And in that sense, it's not about the money, you know? It's not about the bling, bling, bling. It is about our hearts. And where your money goes, your life follows. And so we want to ask ourselves the question, what does being trusted with the resources that I have been given mean for me? If we simply keep it all to ourselves, that's tacky and immature. You haven't got the Jesus thing quite yet. You need to step into the point where money's not your master and money's not the thing that determines your vision, how you live your life, your priorities, but Jesus is and his kingdom is. And we have this radical, generous giving where we find that God is able to supply our needs and we're free from the grip of money. If you can't give, if you don't have money, don't feel guilty. Don't give. You can't give. Be rational. Serve in other ways. Bake a cake. Someone baked a cake today. Was that for us or did you just bring a cake to church for yourself? I'm going to take that as a yes. People can contribute in all kinds of ways. But here's the big idea. God has trusted us with valuable resources. Investing them back into his kingdom is the best way of moving from comfort zone to commitment zone. Our giving should be both personal and proportional. It could be 10%, it could be 20%, it could be 90%, it could be 5%, it could be 2%. But something in proportion that you are able, something that's going to move you out of the comfort zone. Because it's in the commitment zone that we are able to do great things for God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that giving is actually a gift that you give us. It's a privilege. And I want to pray, Lord God, that nobody here would feel driven by guilt. I pray that no one would feel emotionally manipulated. I feel that no one here would feel awkward. But I pray, Lord God, that you would allow us to see money in a different way. That you'd allow us to see our resources, our possessions, our material wealth as something that you've trusted us with to enjoy, to benefit from, but also to be generous with and to give sacrificially into a greater kingdom. Because we know that you're a God who has an abundance. And as we give, you want to bring us into that abundance. And I want to pray that this church would be a church that is known for being radically generous, that we're able to do great things for God's kingdom because we are generous and free-flowing with our money and we're in the commitment zone. Lord, would you help us? Would you take us? And I want to pray for those of us that are particularly impacted tonight, that we were able to go away from this place and to start signing up and making new commitments with our finance. And I pray that not a single one of us would miss out, but that we would experience for ourselves how good, good, good you are. In Jesus' name, amen.